Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the FDC Limited earnings conference call for the half year ended September 30th, 2023. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the brief highlights on the financials from the management. Should you need any assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Ms. Varsharani Katre, Company Secretary and Compliance Officer of FDC Limited. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. I welcome all of you on behalf of FDC Limited. Glad to connect with you all for this half-year-ended earnings call. We have already disseminated the financial results for the quarter and half year ended September 13, 2023, and the investor presentation as well. Now, I would like to introduce the FDC team present in this earnings call. We have with us Mr. Nandan Chandavarkar, Joint Managing Director, Mr. Ameya Chandavarkar, CEO International Business and Executive Director, Mr. Vijay Bhatt, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Mayank Sikka, Vice President, Sales and Marketing, Domestic Strategy, Business Development and Commercial Excellence. We'll begin the earnings call with the highlights on the financial results of the company by Mr. Vijay Bhatt, our Chief Financial Officer, followed by an interactive Q&A session. There might be certain forward-looking statements. These statements are subject to certain risks and uncertainties since they are based on certain assumptions and expectations of future events. I would request all the speaker participants to restrict their queries to 5 minutes only and avoid repetitive queries to save upon the time. With this, I shall now hand over to Mr. Vijay Bhatt. Vijay, please.
Thank you, Varsha, for introduction. At the outset, on behalf of management, we wish all the participants a very happy Diwali and a prosperous New Year. While the financial results for the second quarter and half year ended for the current financial year ended on 30th September 2023 has already been published last week and many of you would have gone through the same. However, for the benefit of all the participants on the call, let me run through the key financial highlights and the business performance of the first half of the FY24. As you would have observed, the company has been consistently growing its top line over the past few years, and the story continues in the current financial year also, with the consolidated revenue growing at about 9% both in the second quarter as well as in the first half of the current financial year, with a quarterly revenue of 486 crore and rupees 1023 crore respectively. We are happy to inform that for the first time, the company's revenue has crossed 1,000 crore landmark in the first half of the current financial year. Domestic business revenue grew at 6%, again, both in the quarter as well as in the H1 of the current financial year, with a revenue of rupees 391 crore and rupees 836 crore respectively. Export formulation business grew at 33% in quarter 2 and 31% in H1 of the current financial year, with a revenue of 76 crore and rupees 144 crore respectively. API business also reported a growth of 2% in the quarter 2 and 14% in the H1 of the current financial year, with a revenue of 19 crore and 41 crore respectively. While the revenue growth is healthy, what is more encouraging is growth in profitability, which reflects management's clear focus to improve overall profitability. Company reported consolidated EBITDA of rupees 76 crore, growing at 13% for the quarter 2, and EBITDA of rupees 198 crore, registering growth of 36% for the H1 of the current financial year. The primary drivers of the increased profitability are improved cost of goods sold and relatively low operational expenses during the first half of the current financial year. Further, the consolidated profit after tax also grew by 35% with a profit of 70 crore for the quarter and growth of 47% with a profit of 180 crore in H1 of the current financial year. As you all are aware, that company maintains a track record of rewarding the shareholder in the most efficient way and with the healthy profitability. The board approved buyback of 31 lakh shares, equity shares of rupees 1 each at a price of rupees 500 per share. The buyback process and payout was concluded during the quarter 2 of the financial year. In conclusion, I would like to say that the overall performance during the first half of the current financial year is healthy and satisfactory, and we look forward to continue the momentum in the coming period. I now request Ms. Varsha to take the proceeding of the call forward and open the forum for Q&A. Over
to you,
Ms. Varsha.
Thank you, Mr. Vijay. Now, I will request the moderator to initiate the Q&A session.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Participants present on the audio bridge who wish to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Viraj from SIMPL. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity and congratulations for good set of numbers and sort of challenging. Thank you for organizing this call. And I request if we can make this more of a frequent, interaction with investors. So a question, just got a few questions. First is my relatively muted.
Sorry to interrupt, Viraj, but the line for you has a little disturbance and we lost your audio in between a little.
Is it better now?
Yes, it's better now. I would request you to please ask your question again.
Yeah, so my question was largely on the domestic business. If you look at H1, the growth has been relatively muted, mid-single digit. So if you can just give some color in terms of what really transpired, and further details in terms of volume, price, and new product mix in H1. And second is in relation to the other expenses jump, which we saw specifically in, Q2. So, was there any one-off or, what is it driven by? And I'll just follow it up with a few more questions.
So, thanks, Viraj. I think you have two parts of your questions. One is on the domestic business dynamics in terms of what is the growth in terms of price volume, which my colleague Mr. Mayank will take up. And the other part of the question is on the other expense. I will answer that once Mayank answers the first one. Over to you, Mayank.
Hi, this is Mayank. So you asked about the domestic front. The internal growth breakup for volume, price, and new product as follows. For the first half, 6 months, our volume growth is stagnated. Price growth is almost 4.9%, and the new product growth is 0.8%, and overall we have grown by 5.8%. If you look at the market dynamics in the current H1, you recall because of the last couple of years upsurge during the COVID period, there are a lot of market corrections which are happening, especially in our operational front, which is antibiotic and ORS front. If you look at, I hope you might have gone through the market data points of PharmaRack and IQVI, the volume growth for the current first half was negative as reported by PharmaRack starting from April till September. The only positive sign we have seen in the month of October. So yes, the industry definitely is hyping upon the price growth for the current financial year and the new product production, which has been the case with FDC also.
So, Vidal, about your question on the other expenditure in the quarter as well as in the H1. So, at the outset, I think I would like to point out that our pattern of expenditure is strictly not so comparable quarter on quarter. Of course, YOY, yes, we can look at it because the performance do vary based on the seasonality of certain products and all. Having said that, there are a couple of expenditures which are one-off in nature, particularly in the quarter two, and some are in the H1 because certain expenditure did happen in the Q1 also. So those one-off type of expenditure are basically investment in nature. We have two ANDAs filed during this first half of the current financial year. And as you all are aware, this ANDA filing fees itself are also a big in number. We also had some of the major repairs type of expenditure, though not non-recurring kind of on a quarter-on-quarter basis, but they are scheduled maintenance, which do take place annually. Coincidentally, happened during the quarter two. Also, there are some of the expenditure on the registration funds and certain fees that we have paid. Both happened also coincidentally during the quarter two of the current financial year. As the nature of this expenditure is non-recurring, particularly quarter, and hence, if we see on absolute basis, probably the number looks little high or a bit on quarter two per se. But overall, as a percentage of the revenue, we do feel that they are kind of an investment of nature, expenditure and need for the business. If we neutralize this expenditure, probably then the comparable would be better. So with this kind of observations, if I have to put a value tag to it, close to about 9 crore is an expenditure approximately, which are one-off kind of and non-recurring quarter-on-quarter basis expenditure got reflected during the H1 of the current financial year. So I hope I have answered the questions.
Yeah, thank you for that. Just few more questions. You know, so if you look at the change in our journey in last three, four years and what we talked about in terms of, say, the initiatives, say, in terms of optimizing in the field and focusing on the core. So if you can probably elaborate, say, the sales structure, what are the changes we made, and what is the incentive program now versus what is the earlier? So broadly, in terms of the sales structure, the incentive program and other changes, what gaps were there earlier, and the initiatives which we took, which is helping drive better focus on the core brands and, you know, and the new product expansion. So if you can just elaborate a little more in detail, you know, how we, what kind of changes and initiatives we have changed around these elements.
Yeah, so you are referring to our earlier discussion in the past calls. Yes, there is correct that we did a lot of operational corrections 3-4 years back, exactly prior to COVID. And what you were reporting from our last call, yes, we did a lot of inward focusing on our antibiotic segments, ORS, energy drink, and food category of products. Now, as far as this second half, first half is concerned, we have not made any changes. We are continuing on the same strategic front because, as you rightly mentioned, we have been very successful in the last couple of years, and we still feel that that strategy, what we have been following up till now, is workable and can still give us very good results, which can be taking FDC to newer heights, which has been the case for the last two or three years. So nothing significant changes. We had launched a couple of therapeutic baskets 2 years back with our two new divisions, which we have introduced 2 years back. We are continuing on the same trajectory, and there's no change at all. So we continue with the same structure.
No, but actually my question was largely on two parts. One is, you know, in terms of the changes which we made, especially in the sales and distribution side, you know, say either in terms of the incentive program or the sales structure. So we added more than 1,500 MRs. So, you know, how is that distributed across, say, major brands? And, you know, how are we driving, if at all there's been any change in incentive structure per se? So how are we driving better growth? So that is one part. And second is in terms of distribution coverage, say for the top 5 or top 10 brands, you know. So what kind of a revenue would be coming from, say, Metro and Tier 1, Tier 2 as against beyond? And is there still, I mean, is the growth which we are seeing is primarily from these markets, or, you know, the expansion beyond these markets is also a lever for us?
So, yes. So 2 years back, what you are referring, we expanded with two of our divisions. Two of the therapies which we were targeting was, one was Derma, our Zocon division, and Nutraceutical through our Nutrica division. Now, that was precisely done to focus on these two new therapeutic baskets. And also, that gives us a lot of headway to focus on our existing brands, which are majorly in the antibiotic category. As you know, that we call ourselves a major antibiotic company, but yes, apart from Zicky, we never had a significant market share in any of the antibiotics. So all these expansions did give us a headroom to focus on already existing antibiotic therapies which we were there. To name a few, we already had Flemiclav in the form of amoxiclav, azithromycin, cefuroxime for that matter, and we have been doing pretty good since this expansion has taken place. Now, since you're referring to the geographical front, yes, we have expanded in some of the geographies. To be precise, we have expanded in the east, which was a weak zone for us. And I'm happy to share in the last 2 years, our progress has been pretty good, especially in Bihar, Odisha side, and now we've entered into West Bengal also. So, as far as the domestic front is concerned, we are already we have good strength in north and west. East and south was slightly a weaker zone for us, or rather I can say east was mostly non-operational, which we have done now in the last couple of years, and we are quite satisfied with the progress what we have made. Coming to the category town class, what we were referring, so we have a mixed approach, since there are a lot of things to be done simultaneously at the domestic front. So one is that we are consolidating ourselves in the existing markets of the metros, namely Mumbai, Delhi, Kolkata, Bengaluru. We have consolidated ourselves in these markets. We were always strong in the rural category, but yes, we have consolidated ourselves now into town one and town two category as per the classification of IQVIA. And what I can share with you that our growth rates are pretty decent and mostly ahead of the market in all these town classes, which IQVIA defines in their data sets.
Okay. Just two more questions. We also talked about portfolio rationalization as one of the initiatives, we took in last 3-4 years. And if you look at, we had a good amount of success for Zifi CV, right? So if you can just broadly, briefly talk about, what drove success for that brand. And if I look at, say, from number 6 to number 10 brands, which we have, so the likes of Zocon or Zifi O or Zifi Infant, these are like sub 50-100, sub 100 crore scale for us right now. So, how are we going about in terms of the go-to-market play for these products, because the competition intensity is already quite high. So one is in terms of the learnings from ZTCV and in terms of our play in these brands, how do we see opportunities for scale-up going forward?
Yeah, so yes, you're right that apart from the top three, which is Electra, Zifi, and Enerzal, we have 7 products in the category of 50 to 100 crores as per the market data set. And probably you are referring to my earlier mentions in the call, Zifi CV was a brand which we were eyeing upon as a growth driver apart from Zifi. And I'm happy to share, maybe in the first half, we have done really well. Our market shares have definitely improved in Zifi CV, and we control almost 49% of the market in that particular category. Apart from Zifi CV, Zifi O also has been doing pretty good, and I'm happy to share that our growth rate, as reported by IQVIA, for the first 6 months is 16%. Apart from that, Flemiclav, which is another antibiotic in our portfolio, has significantly shown a growth of 31%. Zipod, our antibiotic in the category of cefuroxime, has given us good revenues. Defu, again an antibiotic in the cefuroxime category, has shown a growth of 14%. Mum-Mum, our food product, which is marketed by our new division Nuprica, has shown a growth of 33%. So these are all very heartening numbers, which we are very confident that a couple of these brands surely would be crossing a 100 crore landmark in the near future.
Okay, I'll come back in queue. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Vilina Jain from Perpetuity Investors. Please go ahead.
Hello. So my first question is regarding EBITDA margins. They have declined on a QOQ basis, largely on account of other expenses. And other expenses have remained largely volatile. As you explained that there are certain one-offs in this quarter, but what are your expectations on EBITDA margin for H2 FY24?
Vijay, are you done with your question?
Yeah, I have a couple more questions on the India business and export business after this.
So on your EBITDA margin, let me answer the specific question on why there is a reduction in the margin. I think you are seeing this margin comparison from quarter one versus quarter two. And our submission is that strictly it should not be compared in that sense for two reasons. One, as I mentioned earlier to the earlier participants, that there are certain one-off expenditure also which coincidentally came during the quarter two, and hence slightly the other expenditure during the quarter two are inflated. Having said that, the quarter one, if you see historically, is our predominantly the season here, and the normalized sale during the quarter one compared to the other quarters of the year is generally high, and hence that incremental sale also brings the incremental profitability at the bottom, and that's where normally the EBITDA margin of Q1 would generally tend to be higher than the other quarters. Having said that, the quarter two EBITDA margin is also healthy, and on a year-to-date basis, if you see, we are almost close to 19%, slightly marginally above 19%. On a consolidated basis, which we believe as a trend is reflecting all our efforts in terms of margin improvement, and the management is quite focused on improving it. Our request is that let us look at the margin more on a quarter on quarter, because that would be a better comparison, because the pattern of our business doesn't remain same every quarter, and hence quarter one is in that sense strictly not comparable with quarter two. I hope I have clarified your point.
So, sir, what should we look at as a normalized margin for FY24 or on an annual basis?
I think here where we would like to make a specific comment that, you know, as a management, we have decided not to give any guidance or any forward-looking outlook. We would not, we would be quite hesitant to answer your this question on the H2 part of the year. The only thing what at this stage we can say is that our focus is very clear in terms of growing the business top line and growing it with the profitability, and the endeavor will be on, and it's an ongoing process, and as such I would not like to put any finger on the number or the percentage, but just the story of growth momentum we would like to maintain and continue. So I think my request to all the other participants is also there, that let's not put up a question where we will have to comment that it is more like a forward-looking statement, because that's something as a policy we would prefer not to comment.
Okay. So, sir, on the India business, what is the current field force strength in terms of MR count, and how many reps have we added over the last 24 months?
So we have already given this information in our presentation, what we uploaded today in the morning. Our total field force as of now stands close to 4,800, which includes the managers all put together. And in the last 12 months, we have not made any significant changes to it, because we are into a consolidation phase. And we will continue like this for another maybe 6 months or so. And then we will review the situation how it is.
Sure. And on the export business front, we have performed extremely well in over the last 2 years. And FY24, we have already reached 400 crore run rate with 25% growth on a YOY basis. Are there any one-offs which has led to this growth, and what do we expect the export momentum to be like going forward for the next couple of years?
Vijay here, madam. I think at the outset, let me just say there are no such one-off, particularly in a business like an export formulation business. These are all the regular business which keeps happening. Sometimes there are certain orders where in some of the ROW markets where we participate in certain tenders. But in terms of overall business size that we have today, there are no such one-off things which would be of some relevance for you to note, and hence for us we consider that as a part of the routine and normalized. That's the export front story. Overall, yes, your observation is mixed both with the anticipated sale as well as for the current year. In terms of my overall revenue for the current H1 of the financial year, export business trajectory looks very healthy, positive in terms of growth momentum. We have been growing over the past couple of quarters, quarter on quarter, on a double digit. You mentioned that we would be crossing about 400 crore. We would be hesitant to talk about it or comment on it. But the H1 is reflecting the efforts of the company. Our presence is also depicted in the presentation that we have uploaded on the website, and you can take your time to have a look at it. So overall, this geographical spread is also increasing over the past few years, which we will continue to endeavor to increase our footprints in some of the non-US markets, particularly the Europe, Asia-Pac region, some of the African regions. And very soon, I think this growth momentum would lead us to a very sizable contribution of the overall export business in our total company's revenue. As of now, the export formulation revenue is close to about 13% of the total revenue of the company in the H1.
Sure, thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one if you wish to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Ankit Pandya from InCred Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, you are audible.
Yes.
Okay, awesome. This is Aditya Kenkar here. Hi. Two questions from my side. Number one, FDC is a mature company. It's a company that has been there in the pharma market for a long time, and we are talking about cost-cutting measures, efficiencies now. So can you talk us through, what is it exactly? Where is the low-hanging fruit in terms of cost efficiency and, those measures that you're talking about? And, how much of a cost savings are you really planning to sort of do? Is it 50 crores an annum, 100 crores an annum? What would be the end result of this exercise, and how would you achieve that? Can you talk a bit about that?
Okay, if you say anything like a low-hanging fruits, there is nothing easy in terms of the cost optimization. As we mentioned in the earlier part of the call, that we are focusing on the growth and we want to grow. We are a growing company, and hence, we at this stage, we believe that we will have to invest in some of the businesses, and that's what our momentum will continue on that. Having said that, there are certain cost optimization efforts and the projects which are on. We would not be in a position to talk any specifics about what are those measures, but there are areas of improvement on the operational fields in terms of our manufacturing activity. We are constantly looking at how to optimize the yields and the operational efficiency part at the manufacturing level, as well as certain activities on the marketing side, as well as on the corporate support expenditure that the whole company is built around. Overall, there would not be any major thing which we would like to talk about for the first half of the year, but there are expenditure in terms of normal operational expenditure where we have done several steps, we have taken several steps, and my operational expenditure is now curtailed and is not growing higher than the growth in the revenue. and that's where our focus at present is. With this, I would also like to make some qualification that we are focused on investing in business, and hence there are certain investment expenditure in terms of R&D that we are focused on, and we would continue to do those kind of expenditure in the coming period also. So might be I am not able to divulge any specific information on which type of expenditure, but some of the broad categories of our expenditure, as I mentioned about operational marketing spends, because these are the areas where one can always try and optimize, and we are focusing on those kind of expenditure.
Understood, sir. One last question on the capital allocation, right? So historically, FDC, you know, although we have had an export business, but it has always lacked focus, and you know, they have been more focused on the India business, because I believe that is where the return on equity and cash flows are better compared to, you know, the generic business in the export market. But given the commentary that I'm hearing on this call, would it be fair to say that whatever cash we generate from the India business, most of that cash broadly will be used to invest in the export markets? And if you do so, then do you have any visibility of those export markets generating higher than cost of capital sort of equity returns?
So I think your observation is partly true, but not in real sense. It's not, of course, the company is a domestic-centric company. Or more than 80% of the revenue comes from domestic business, and the company is built on the domestic business over these years. Having said that, the export business is also very lucrative for us, and because we are growing in the last few years and our base on which we are growing is small at this stage, and the growth momentum we would like to say at this stage is it is a profitable business for us. It doesn't require as such in major way any cross capital allocation. Export business do generate profit on its own. Because the base is low, the absolute number of that appears to be little lower. Though we do not talk more about the profitability of our individual business segment per se. But there is no major capital allocation new that we may need to do specifically for the export business, except for the R&D, which would be primarily focused for the export business.
Understood, sir. Just one follow-up. So can you sort of help us understand what kind of R&D expense are we looking at, and what is your CAPEX budget for the next couple of years?
So there are no major CAPEX as far as the R&D type of expenditure is concerned, but yes, there would be more revenue of R&D because company do have two R&D centers at this stage, adequately capitalized, and we do not need any major CAPEX on those R&D fronts. But on the revenue front, there would be certain clinical studies, these studies, there would be many filing fees. So those type of expenditure would be there. Majorly at this stage, the focus is more on the end of filing and certain registration in the other ROW markets. But primarily, this would be more focused on the US market at this stage.
Yeah. And sir, what is our right to win in the US market? So we have seen multiple pharma companies burn their fingers in the US market. You know, they are over-leveraged for the US market. They are very extended working capital, low margins. So what is our right to win? Where do we differentiate ourselves versus the competitors like Lupin, Dr. Reddy, Cadila, who have been in that market for 10, 20 years?
I mean, there is no straight formula like right to win, but of course, our strength lies in the ophthalmology business that we have in the US market, and this business is, we are in this business for quite some time now. We understand this business well. We understand the market sentiments in the US for this business. We are right now doing quite good with our business partners in US, and whether we call it a right to win or we consider that as our strength, we are happy with that. We will build on this plan as we move forward in the coming period. I hope that is answering the query which you have.
Yeah, fair enough. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. To ask a question, ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Yash Tanna from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. My question was relating to the PCPM of RMRs. You said in the last 12 months we haven't added, and even in the near future we are not planning to add. So what is the PCPM and what is the improvement that we are targeting on this front as we do, you know, grow our domestic sales?
Yeah, so yeah, yes, we have grown in our PCPM, but as I said, if you look at the perspective of last 3 years, we had two major expansions which brought the PCPM down. As I can give you rough numbers, maybe 2 years back, we reached to a PCPM of 4 lakhs, and then we expanded with two of the divisions, which brought our PCPM down again to close to 3 lakhs. I'm happy to tell you that this first half, we have recorded a PCPM of almost 3.89, to be precise. And we are looking forward to take it further as we move forward.
Yash, does that answer your question? Yes,
sure.
Yeah, am I audible?
Yes, you are audible now, sir.
Please go ahead.
Yeah, sure. So, got this. So, we are looking to improve this. And so, I'm sorry, did you mention any targeted number, probably by 10-12% year on year or something like that? I missed that.
So, we have not given any number because, as I said, to answer the first query, the market is very dynamic, and as I said, so we always expect a very good growth on the market front, as IPM as well as the CDM front. But as I said in my first reply, this year, unfortunately, the volume growth as reported by PharmaRack has been all negative right from April to September. In such a situation, it is very difficult to predict and to give any guidance about what would be the possible growth. We are keeping our fingers crossed, as I said, the October month, so we are not discussing in this call October, but October month has shown a lot of promise where the markets are coming back to the growth trajectory. If that happens, we definitely look forward to improvise on our productivity front. But to set a goalpost number would be very, very difficult because, as I said, the growth trajectory, though we have not expanded on the market front or the manpower front, but that doesn't mean that we will not do it in future because, as I said, our there are a lot of gap areas from a operational geographical front where we might have to look at expansion in the future. So we are not giving ourselves any targeted number, but yes, internally we are tracking the growth on a quarter-to-quarter basis.
Sure, sir. Got that. That's very helpful. Secondly, sir, you mentioned, I think to an earlier participant, on growing the brands X of the top three brands. So if you could highlight what is the strategy there and if we are adding more people in those brands which are X of the top three or the top five, and if you have identified a few brands that we are going to focus on and scaling up beyond the 100 crore mark.
Yeah, so as I said to my earlier reply and also in the past call, we have not made any significant allocation now. We did it 2 years back. I'm repeating myself to the earlier question that we expanded with two of the divisions and that gave us the headroom to focus on more brands within the same verticals. So we do not intend to any further allocation on that front. But apart from the top three, I did mention there are seven brands in the category of 50 to 100 as reported by the market dynamics, that is PharmaRack and IQVAC. These seven brands, if you want to name them, these are ZipiCV, Vitcofol, Vaprin, Zocon, Zikigo, SimilMCT and Flemiclap. Mostly these brands are marketed by various different divisions and we have put in resources through the portfolio management what we did 2 years back. So no further allocations are required. But as I shared to the other analysts that yes, these brands show a healthy growth rate as reported by IQVIA. If you want, I can repeat once again for your benefit. Zikio has shown a growth of 19.9%, Flemiclav 27.5%. These are some of the key indicators that we are moving in the right direction. We did talk about the Nutrica division, one of the brand market buyback division, Mammam, which we are focusing now, also shows a double-digit growth. And Ocuvir, which is marketed by our Derma division, that is Zocon, also has shown a good growth of 30%+. So this gives us the confidence that these seven brands can be nurtured as a future growth opportunities for FDC.
Sure, sir. Got it. That's very helpful. Thank you and best of luck.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one if you wish to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Bhavin Savla, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Bhavin, you are audible. You may proceed with your question.
Yeah. Thank you for giving me this opportunity for the question. I have two questions. One is on the, pharma and the food division. So whether any management has any plans to demerge pharma and food division going forward? First is that. Second is, the management has not held con call since last two quarters. So going forward, what is the plan? Whether this con call will be held each quarter or how it would be?
So I'll take this question, Vijay here. To answer very specific, is there any plan of demerger of any division? Answer to that is no. There are no such plans. As such, as I mentioned earlier, that let's confine ourselves to the numbers which are published and not any futuristic plan. But as of now, answer is no. On the con call front, yes, we were away from it in past, but we would like to get engaged with all the investors and the analysts. At least we started with it now and we wish to continue, probably not every quarter, unless there are some specific event which we feel we need to communicate to all the investors. But at least on a half-yearly basis, we would certainly like to get engaged. So this is our half-yearly performance data got published and then we thought, let us connect with all the investors. Maybe once the March ends, we may again engage with all the investors.
Thank you. Thank you very much for taking my question. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask questions may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Ravi Purohit from Securities Investment Management Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for giving this opportunity. Most of my questions have been answered, just a couple of them. I think I probably missed that part, or was it, it's not very audible earlier, about the employee productivity. I think we had hired a significantly large number of MRs in the last 3 years. Some of it is visible, I guess, probably in the sales growth that we've achieved over the last 3-4 years as compared to the previous 7-8 years of our company's history, right? So, and now I think we mentioned that we've not hired or we are not looking to add any more MRs aggressively going forward. So how does this balance of growth in sales versus hiring more MRs kind of work out in the future? Are we looking at increasing productivity of this MR base which we had recruited in the last 3 years significantly over the next 3 to 4 years? What are the areas where, from where, sales growth will probably come for us? Last 4 years have been very good. We've kind of delivered, industry, better than industry growth. So if we have to continue on this path, what are the areas which will kind of, drive this, industry beating growth?
So, yes, I've answered this question partially, but as you mentioned that you couldn't hear this because of lack of clarity. So there are two aspects to it. When I say that there are no plans to enhance the field force, this was related to the divisionalization, what we did 2 years back. And I hope you understand that as a growing, although we are a growing organization, but you cannot keep on expanding divisions every year or every second year. So we did two divisions in a row. which was mandatory for us because our volumes during COVID had swelled up approximately from a 900 crore to a 1300-1400 crores, where we felt there's a need to create a headway, a lot of legroom to promote more number of brands, and that's why we did it. Now we are into a consolidation phase because, yes, once you put 400, 500 MRs into the field, you need to give space and time for them to be groomed and be productive, which is the current phase what we are going through for the last 1.5 years. When I say that we don't have any plans in the near future to expand, I mean by divisionalization, which is a major expansion. Now, I did also mention about the geographical expansion, and as I said, that we are too dominant or maybe too focused in the past in the western territories, and the northern territories are weaker areas, definitely were not east and south. And I also did mention that we have started focusing on our penetration into the east through the Bihar, Odisha route, and then the West Bengal. So those minor expansions would continue in the near future also, but they would not be any significant, and that's why we did mention about that. As far as the management strategy is concerned, we have to strike a balance between the increase in productivity and also our penetration into newer therapies, newer portfolios, and also the geographical brand. So it is a difficult task which we are trying to accomplish as of now. So yes, it would be a mixed bag that at some point of time we might extend, then give us a consolidation phase where we try to bring our PHCMs ahead, and this process will continue for a couple more years, and we'll comment on it once we accomplish our roadmap.
So is new product introduction also a part of, you know, growth initiatives, as in, and also if you could, you know, throw some more light and, you know, color on this, the foods division. We've been at it for almost 7-8 years now, and now we finally see some traction in, you know, this Simil one or, Mamam one or Simil and all these categories. So if you could just, you know, share a little bit more background and history about as to why did we actually decide to get into these categories, how big are these categories, and what is our own play in this categories in the next 5 to 10 years? Because these are categories with very strong entry barriers. We've kind of come to a place where we are looking at close to 100 crore revenue contribution coming from this category. So if you could just share a little bit more insights into this category, and, you know, what is your own kind of view over the next 5 to 6 years on this category of business?
Yeah, so there are a couple of parts to your question. I'll take the first one first. Yes, as a strategy from 2019, pre-COVID, we stopped launching newer brands because we felt that we are all over the place and there is a need for our consolidation. And I have shared this in the earlier calls that we strategized in such a fashion that we consolidated with antibiotic, ORF, energy drinks, which was our bread and butter, because we were strong but we were not emphatic in those areas also. So last couple of years we have been, and you might be tracking, that our flagship brand Electra, Zifi, Enerzal have achieved newer heights, and we have made these brands even bigger. If I can share, show that as per the IQVIA reflection, Electra has crossed 400 crore landmark, Zifi has crossed 300 crore landmark, and Enerzal is in between close to 200 crores. So in the last couple of years, we have grown these brands, and simultaneously, as I mentioned in the earlier answer, the next 7 brands, which I'll not repeat now, I've given those names, which are in the vicinity of 50 to 100, we have shown a good growth. So this strategy probably forced us not to go for new launches, because that diversifies our focus, which was of prime importance. Having said this, yes, we have always done brand extension, line extensions to all these brands. Just to name a few, we have come up with what I did mention, Zippy CV, Zippy O. We have also now launched, which I shared in my last call also, Electra Z we have launched. Enerzal has been launched in various forms, variant packs. Even we, if we are tracking it, we have launched with the PET bottle, which is very, very successful. So when I say that we have refrained from launching new brands, I'm talking of the newer molecules. But to our existing brands, wherever the need was there, we have always launched. Having said this, yes, the market is very dynamic, and as I said that with the volume growth being negative, as again reported by PharmaVac for the last 5 to 6 months, we have been reworking our strategy because, as you know, for growth there are only three components: one is volume, one is price, one is new growth, new products. So up till now we have been doing through the unit growth, which has been very, very successful. But now since the market forces us to think otherwise because the volume growth has gone negative, so this year we have been focusing on the price growth and also the new production. So there will be slight shift in our strategy moving forward. So we will be looking at some new productions. Now coming to the last part of your nutritional portfolio, I had shared in the earlier calls also, our major reason for entry into this was we were always present. Our name itself is food, drugs and chemicals, and we had a long legacy of food brands with Soil, ProSoil, and that extends to Simil MCT, one of our flagship brands, which is that has a significant maybe market share. But yes, we never had the prime focus on the food products, and we realized that this is the time where we consolidate our food basket, and that is probably led to the formation of the Nutrica division. Though it is a very small team, but this team is dedicated for the maybe the nutraceutical portfolio. So apart from Simil MCT, Mum Mum is one key brand over there, along with Jefferidge, which we are focusing. Having said this, nutraceutical is a very wide field. So apart from the IMF therapies and the protein therapies which we are marketing through the Nutrica division, the food products are also spread out in other divisions. Maybe not in a big way, but yes, every division has one or two food brands which we are marketing. I hope that answers all your questions.
So what I was trying to understand is how big is the addressable market for, you know, products like Simil and Mum Mum and all, right? And you know, what would our aspiration be over the next 5 to 10 years in those categories of products?
So again, I would not like to give you any breakup of the brand portfolio size of the market size, but what I can share. In our covered market, the Nutrica basket is almost 2,400 plus crores, and as of now, our market share is 3.9. So we would be working on this, and this is what is our operational plan is.
Okay. That's all from my side. Thank you so much. And again, same request as the earlier participants, if you can continue with this con calls as a norm, then as an exception, it will be great.
Yes, definitely. Okay. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Viraj from SIMPL. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity again. I just have three questions. One is, you know, so if one has to understand in terms of, say, the investment behind the brands or in terms of the MR team, which we have, say, around 4,800, including the managers, how is the distribution of these two, say, in the top three brands vis-a-vis the next seven? You know, how has that distribution changed in the last 2 years?
So, partly I couldn't hear you out completely, but I'll try to answer that. If there are any further gaps, you can ask me again. We are too dependent on the top three, but yes, there is a definite reduction as we move forward. So, I'll give you the very broad numbers. Maybe a couple of years back, our dependency on the top three brands were almost to the tune of 50%. Now in the current half, it has come down to close to 40%, 44% to be precise. This is as far as the breakup between the top brands and the other brands are concerned. But other question which you've asked is the breakup of MRs and the managers across India. I would not like to share much of details over here, because that is part of the strategy and I would not like that to be in the public domain. But broadly what I said, our dependency or maybe operational front is majorly west and north. East, we are not much of, we don't have much of operations, and we are working on the expansion part of the east, which I mentioned in the earlier answer also. So this is it, what I can share as of now.
So my question was again linked to the MR productivity, and the reason why I was asking is that is a lot of the investment and the MR more focused on the tops, on the next seven brands, and hence as they scale up, we should see more productivity and, you know, investment or the MR team in terms of the top three is at the optimal level at what it could be, you know, there's no further scope of further, you know, reduction, you know, is the understanding right?
Yeah, so I have answered that as far as the MR productivity is concerned, and I'd not like to repeat that. But as you are mentioning that MR expansion, technically, and my CEO would agree on that, is not a major investment, because whatever we do, we have not gone into virgin lands. As I said, though we expanded with Zocon and Nutrica, but we always had brands in those portfolio, and at the start also, if I can give you the number, Zocon started with a ballpark revenue of 100 crore because we shifted our existing brands to those divisions. So it is not like that we start from scratch and it takes 2 years time to break even and all those things. Even Nutrica division started with a ballpark number of almost 35 crores because we normally shift, as per strategy, we normally shift existing brands to the newer division. So getting revenues or making them profitable is not a big issue out there. Having said this, if you consider this as an investment, probably our CAGR, which you might have seen, has shown pretty good reflections. And if I can share with you that we have improved our growth rate significantly, if I can give you September MAT numbers of IQVI, where the IPM has shown a growth of 10.3%, my covered market has shown a growth of 9.2%, my growth of FDC is 14.5%. So we have beaten the market by almost 5%, which is quite significant in these turmoiling times. So this is all result of whatever we did in the last couple of years, and we are pretty happy that it is giving us good results, in both in terms of top line earlier and now the bottom line, as shared by Mr. Vijay, is quite satisfactory.
Okay, two more questions on product side. So in the past, we have, you know, economically priced our products, and we also talked about improving our value proposition. So any color you can give on what are we doing there?
We lost your voice in between. If you can repeat your question, that would be good.
Yeah, so in case of ophthalmic products, you know, in the past we talked about economically pricing our products, and we also talked about improving our overall value proposition there. So any color you can give in terms of what are we doing there?
Yeah, so probably I shared this in my last call also, that yes, FDC had an economical pricing strategy, and we have always worked on those principles. Still, we try to maintain ourselves on the affordability part of it. But during the COVID era, and as mentioned by our CFO, and you might also have tracked with the costs going up a couple of years with all this COVID around and the China issue coming in, we probably have moved on from that strategy because it was not a workable module for us. And if I can share those numbers with you, maybe our price growth have moved significantly up if you compare with our past numbers. If I can share, probably in the first quarter, our price growth was almost 6.1%, which is still around 4%, 4% plus for the second quarter. So we have been increasing our prices, but again, we are bound by regulation, and I hope you are aware of it. We cannot move beyond 10% even if we wish to, and most of the products are also price controlled by the government, where we have to look up to them for what they allow at the start of each financial year. But in general, we have moved definitely out of that most economical mindset. We have most of our therapy now in the affordable range. I hope that satisfies your question.
Yeah, this last question was on Amazon. You know, our share is roughly around 40%. And if you look at the broader market, including the consumer, you know, there are players who have done much better in terms of the scale up in the last few years. So if you can just, the question is largely in three parts. If you can just talk about differentiation, either in terms of marketing or position or the product itself for us, what are our plans to gain share? And lastly, in terms of the different channels for distribution, you know, if you can give color where we are with respect to that.
You are referring to Amazon, right?
Yeah, Amazon as a brand.
Yeah, so we have always maintained that yes, Enerzal has a very large market and the line is very thin between FMCG, OTC product or maybe a OTX, what we currently claim ourselves to be. You need to understand that still we are in the pharma space and our model of business still prescription route through the doctors. And probably we have shared in our presentation that we do enjoy close to 50% market share in that domain as reported by IQVIA. But I do agree, yes, a lot of scope is there which we are working on. And both Enerzal and Electral, we have changed slight strategy in the last couple of years, where through Enerzal we are going all out in terms of, apart from doctor promotion, we have focused on score activations and many other things if you are tracking them. Similar things have been done with Electral also, because we do understand that these are two brands which spill over from the prescription front. And if I can say so, that we are right now in the pharma OTX category with both these brands. The scope definitely lies in the FMCG part of the world, but this, that is a completely different ballgame. And as of now, we have not moved into that category. As far as the distribution channels are concerned, we are still into that pharma space. So our products are available online. If you visit any of the online sites, maybe 1MG Pharmacy or any of those sites which dispenses any kind of medicated products or medicinal products, both these brands are freely available. Though we have not directly worked on through these channels, but through secondary sources, we get good and handsome business through other channels.
Okay, and on CapEx for FY24 and 25, I think, you know, we were also looking to spend towards our new corporate office and R&D center. So, you know, how much is done, how much is left, and?
So on the CapEx front, actually there are a lot of other small and big projects which are going on, particularly this corporate office, which is ongoing. We hope that by end of the next calendar year, hopefully, that corporate office should get ready and the expenditure would spill over till the next financial year also. Having said that, if I have to give some range of expenditure, our regular maintenance capex is about 50 odd crore annually, and because of this corporate office going on, work going on, and there are some other smaller projects going on at our manufacturing location, the capex for the next 12 to 15 months is in the range of about 170 odd crore.
Okay, thank you and good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ravi Purohit from Securities Investment Management Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, sorry, one small clarification. I think one of the earlier participants had asked about our exports business. And I think we had mentioned that our export business is fairly profitable. Will it be possible for you to share whether, you know, exports is...
Sir, sorry to interrupt, but there's a disturbance on your line.
Can you hear me now?
Is this much better, yes. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So my question was, you know, without, I mean, I don't know if you can quantify, but is it fair to assume that exports business is as profitable as the domestic business, less profitable, more profitable? You know, if one were to kind of look at it as like two different segments, and you know, if one had to kind of do two let's say internally you had two separate P&Ls and balance sheets for export and domestic, and you had to draw up a return on capital employed for the export business versus the domestic business. Can you just share some color on, you know, between the two, you know, how is the economics like? Because we've confined ourselves to a fairly small niche of products for the export business, so just wanted to understand, you know, how is the profitability or the return on capital employed between the two divisions.
So, Ravi, I think it's a very difficult question to answer, and because it's not that we don't want to answer, but it is very difficult to answer. Because both are independent business, both are having its own dynamic. So if you ask me what is the profitability, whether it is good or bad versus the domestic, in the domestic versus international, we would refrain to comment on that. But export business is a totally a different business. It is a capital intensive in terms of the manufacturing base you need to have. And it has a lot of entry barriers, which itself in a way is a premium for those who are already in the market, because it requires a lot of regulatory compliance competence which the company has it. With that in mind, and if the product that we hold, I think the profitability is the result of the product that you sell at the market in which you are. We believe that we are in a good market. We would not like to compare ourselves with the domestic business per se. And as such, our base as of now, compared to the domestic business, is relatively small. But the business is good, promising. It has a lot of potential for us to grow in the future. And hence, we continue to focus on it. We will continue to invest in future. And that's where the overall profitability of the company, because it complements the overall infrastructure that the company holds. So majority of our manufacturing locations are regulatory approved locations. And hence for us, it gives us an edge. And in a way, it allows us to give us the confidence to enter into many other markets where we haven't tapped it, or we are in a very small way. And hence, it's a very profitable business. Let's not get into the comparison of domestic versus export, but they both are complementing each other in the overall scheme of things. So that's the answer to your question. I hope you understand what we are trying to say on this.
Okay. Thanks a lot. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this brings us to the end of the question and answer session. I would now like to hand the conference over to Ms. Varsharani Khatre, Company Secretary, for closing comments. Over to you, ma'am.
Thank you all for joining the earnings call of FDC Limited and expressing your views. In case if you have any concerns, please reach out to us on investors@fdcindia.com. Thank you again. Over to the moderator.
Thank you. On behalf of FDC Limited, that concludes today's earnings call. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.